So we acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 13, Respect the Pumpkin, October 31st, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. If you enjoy the show, please like the Yarns at Yin Hu Facebook page or join the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry. You can find me on Ravelry and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. I welcome your suggestions and comments. This week, I heard from new listener Daisy Knits. Sherry and Andy left comments on the show blog. Tonight, I'll close the thread for entries to the Teacher Tribute Challenge. I'll announce the prize winners in the next episode. This week's episode features segments titled A Little Bit of Learning and Ever-Expanding Skill Set. Happy Halloween. I couldn't resist recording episode 13 on Halloween, so I hope you'll indulge me in a show all about the pumpkin. A little etymology for you. The word pumpkin originates from the word pepon, which is Greek for large melon, or something large and round. The French adapted this word to pompon, which the British changed to pompion, and later American colonists changed the word to the one we use today, pumpkin. And here is probably the only knitting content in the show. I didn't know that the word pom-pom originally came from the word meaning pumpkin, pon-pon. And I've seen alternatively pom-pom and pom-pon ending in an M or an N to describe that ball of yarn that's on top of usually a hat, but sometimes they dangle from a scarf as well. This week, I looked up Stephen West's video for making a pom-pom because I wanted some nice fluffy pom-poms on the tops of some hats that I'm making for the men in my family. I never realized how much yarn goes into a successful-looking pom-pom, and it makes a great big mess. So if you are interested in making pom-poms for hats, I encourage you first to watch Stephen West's video, and second, to set aside a little bit of time, the proper tools, and have a vacuum cleaner ready, because you are going to make a giant mess and start sneezing, but you will come out with some lovely pom-poms for hat toppers. All right, so on with a little bit of learning. Pumpkins are one of the most popular crops in the United States. About 1.5 billion pounds of pumpkins are produced each year, and the top pumpkin-producing states include Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. According to the Illinois Department of Agriculture, 95% of the United States crop intended for processing, meaning that would go into canned pumpkin, is grown in Illinois. Nestle Corporation, operating under the brand name Libby's, produces 85% of the processed pumpkin in the United States at their plant in Morton, Illinois. If you listen to Knitting Pipeline, you may already know this information because I believe Bronwyn mentioned it in a conversation a few episodes ago. A serving, which is considered in nutritional standards to be 1 cup of cooked mashed pumpkin. Not my favorite way of consuming pumpkin, but we'll go with it. A serving of pumpkin provides nearly 200% of the recommended vitamin A, about 20% of vitamin C, and about as much potassium as a banana. They are also a reliable source of fiber and beta carotene. I looked up the world record for the largest pumpkin, and I'm pretty sure I have this right. This comes from Huffington Post in a news item October 8th of last year, 2012. Ron Wallace from Green, Rhode Island, grew a pumpkin that weighed a whopping 2,009 pounds, making it not only the largest pumpkin in history, but also the largest fruit, pumpkin is a fruit, ever grown in the world. This massive pumpkin officially weighed in at over a ton at the Topsfield Fair in Topsfield, Massachusetts last year. Pumpkins are a member of the cucurbita family, which includes squash and other cucumbers. And depending on where you are in the world, folks often refer to pumpkins and all other things in the squash family as squash and may not necessarily differentiate pumpkins from other kinds of squash. Pumpkin vine flowers are edible, and the most popular variety of the pumpkin is the Connecticut Field. They come in other colors, not just orange, such as white, gray, blue, red, and green. They're 90% water, and 80% of the pumpkin supply in the U.S. is ready in October. Pumpkins were once believed to remove freckles and cure snake bites and a whole host of other apothecary uses. For the ever-expanding skill set this week, I'd like to pass along three pumpkin recipes. I'm sure you've heard of pumpkin spice latte, and I hope you have a chance to get some. But I'm going to concentrate on breakfast, lunch, and dinner with some wholesome and really satisfying pumpkin recipes. The first is a breakfast recipe. It's called Pumpkin Breakfast Mousse. It came to me from my friend Christy. Christy's the new knitter I talked about in a previous episode. And Christy is a certified health coach, and she has her own business called Creative Wisdom Wellness. I subscribed to her blog. And late last week, an email newsletter came to me with this pumpkin breakfast mousse recipe. It's awesome, and you need to try it. What you do is combine equal parts Greek yogurt, unsweetened, unflavored Greek yogurt, pumpkin pie filling, which has spices already added, or I suppose you could add just regular packed pumpkin and add your own spices, and some maple syrup. It's delicious. It really feels like you're indulging in a dessert for breakfast or for lunch, because I tend to eat my yogurt for lunch. I will put a link to Christy's blog and the recipe in the show notes on my website. The second recipe I'd like to share with you today is a soup that I make all throughout the fall and winter seasons. It's simple enough for a lunch. It's easy to put together, but it's hearty enough for a dinner if you serve it alongside a soup or maybe a salad. And it features roasted pumpkin or any other squash. I've used acorn squash, butternut squash, pumpkin, or even sweet potato for this soup. What you do is roast your vegetable. So in the case of a squash, I cut it open, cut it in half, scoop out the seeds, and place the halves cut side down on a baking sheet and roast in a 350 oven until I can stick a knife in and they're tender. Then I take them out. I usually let them cool a little bit before handling them, and I scoop out all of the flesh. This recipe makes two hearty adult-sized portions and a lunch portion for the next day. If you have more pumpkin than you need, you can simply freeze it. Pumpkin freezes really well. In a blender, I combine 2 cups of the cooked pumpkin, 1 cup of chicken or vegetable stock, and 1 cup of coconut milk. I like to use a reduced fat coconut milk, but I like the creamy texture. I whiz that up in a blender and then pour it into a saucepan. I add some salt. You can add a little bit of lemon juice if you like, and spices and seasonings. This time of year, I really like Indian spices with my cooking, especially anything that's roasted in the oven. So I use a sweet curry powder as the flavoring for this soup. I heat the soup and pour into bowls, and then to garnish, and this is especially festive for Halloween, I take a frozen Mounds bar and grate it like you would grate some cheese over a dish. I grate it over the soup as a garnish. It echoes the coconut milk that's in the soup. The chocolate starts to melt in, and it makes weeknight soups seem a little bit special. If you want a heartier soup, you can also dice some of the cooked pumpkin and add that to the soup so it's not just a smooth, creamy texture, but it's a little more hearty. Serve with crusty bread, a salad, a sandwich. It's a great weeknight supper for the fall and winter seasons. The third and final recipe I'm going to tell you about today is not mine. It's Dori Greenspan's. I'm linking her recipe from a conversation she had on NPR in the show notes. I first heard about this listening to Lynn Rossetto Casper's interview with Dori Greenspan on The Splendid Table. This dish is a showstopper. If you're like me and you host Thanksgiving, there's the eternally nagging question of how to satisfy all of your guests and all of their different eating habits and preferences. I'm always particularly concerned when I have vegetarians coming for dinner because I don't want to just relegate them to the vegetable side dishes. I want to provide something that is really an entree, a centerpiece, has a presentation like the turkey does. And this recipe, pumpkin stuffed with everything good, really fits the bill. It's amazing. I can't believe I didn't find out about it sooner. But one of the reasons I like it a lot is because it's basically an idea. It's not really a recipe, although you can follow with success the recipe that is posted online. You can riff on this recipe eternally and come up with something satisfying. And I think if you're really creative, you could even make this a satisfying vegan recipe. There is cheese and egg in it, and that's what makes it rich and creamy and luscious. But I think you can find some interesting alternatives if you work at it a little bit. What you do is carve out a pumpkin as though you are making a jack-o'-lantern, but you have to be very careful to purchase a sugar pumpkin that's made for eating, not a jack-o'-lantern kind of pumpkin that's basically a dry, tasteless gourd. So you cut out the top just like you're making a jack-o'-lantern, and you scoop out all of the seeds and pulp. You fill the pumpkin carcass essentially with a bread pudding. You make a kind of custard base. Add several different kinds of cheese, add cubed toasted bread, and then if you want, you could add other things for texture or flavor. I think she has a little bit of bacon in her recipe. And you bake this in the oven until the whole thing is tender. You can serve it on a platter and bring it out to the table just as you might do with a turkey. And then to serve, you simply cut wedges into the pumpkin and serve them so you get a crescent of pumpkin and then the filling inside. It's wonderful. Everyone who's eaten it at my house has raved over it, and I've shared the recipe with a number of friends. So it's good all year round, but it does take a little bit of effort. It's not a weeknight dinner kind of thing, I don't think. Not the way I cook weeknight dinners anyway. There's a little bit of time investment needed, and it's also a very large amount of food because once you stuff that whole pumpkin, that's a lot of food. So for me, it's best to serve something like that when I have a lot of guests. Thanks for listening. The music in today's episode is So Wheat, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas and performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Stay strong and drink your pumpkin juice as you hone your post-apocalyptic skills this week.
Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a subway nature thing. Yes, a subway nature thing. Yes, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Kurt sings a bird out on a wire. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a